The Matt Barnes era is over in Boston, but the Sox find a way to fill their left-hander relief pitching need through the deal.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to welcome you back into the Locked On Red Sox podcast. And thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Jake Inizuski. But I wanted to start off this episode with speaking about something that I saw on Twitter just a few days ago. And I think, in my opinion, this could be the new theme of the 2023 Red Sox. Now, throughout this offseason, there's been a lot of ups and downs. Obviously, Xander departing and some of the moves that Chaim Bloom in the front office has made. A little bit questionable. You know, maybe some fans are going into the season with not a lot of confidence that this team is going to be able to be competitive or they're going to be able to make the playoffs. But the one thing that, you know, Lauren and I have spoken about a lot throughout these last few weeks is that this team is going to have a lot of swagger, a lot of personality, and a lot of positive energy and good vibes, it seems like. Not only obviously, Kike being back in full swing. They got Yoshida, who we saw in his press conference, have a lot of personality, and I think it brings some good vibes to this team. But also, you know, some veteran presence of, you know, Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner, and, you know, Adam Duvall now with his recent signing. But I saw Kike Hernandez now has a mustache. Another guy who also has a mustache that I saw from a few people on Twitter, Josh Winkowski. And we've also seen Tristan Casas also rocking a stash throughout this offseason. So it made me think. One thing I've tried not to do, but it's tough to not do, is compare this team a little bit to 2013. With the lack of expectations that not only the media has, but what the fans have, with the mix of young talent and veteran presence, it's really tough to not compare this sort of vibe during the beginning of the season, sort of how 2013 was. And I think, especially with, you know, lots of these players rocking the mustaches, and especially with the stash sort of being in right now, why not sort of go with the slogan and go with the theme of fear the stash? You know, fear the beards was so popular and really fueled, in my opinion, a lot of the swagger and personality on that 2013 team, especially, you know, with them pulling the beards and all the merch that came from it, and, you know, just the whole personality and persona that it brought to that team. And, you know, you had pretty much every single player on the team rocking the beard. Who knows if every player on this 2023 Red Sox team is able to rock a stash, is able to bring some swagger, able to bring some more personality to this team and maybe bond them together like we saw in 2013, who knows? It could really be able to drive this team to have a lot of success. And we know how, you know, a good clubhouse presence is really able to help team correlate that to wins. Obviously, you got to have the talent, but when you have that chemistry and when you have that camaraderie as a full team, it's something that really changes the whole energy when they go out on the field, and especially when you get into the playoffs. So, you know, we had the, you know, grabbing the beards after the home runs as like a little bit of a celebration. Maybe, you know, that they're you know, grabbing the mustache, you know, doing the little Monopoly thing, something like that. And, you know, the one thing I put this out on Twitter and people seem to really love it and really jive with it. Also had some people, you know, try and challenge me to maybe grow out my stash. Got a tiny bit of a beard right now, really small, but if the team is close to the playoffs or is going to make the playoffs, I'm going to rock the stash. I'm going all with it. So, you know, I wanted to start off this episode sort of, you know, pitching this sort of idea, because I think it would be able to bring a whole energy, a little bit more fun, not only to the 2023 Red Sox season, but also with the fans as well. So, you know, I'm curious to hear what you guys think, but luckily we were able to see the Sox be able to add some new talent during these past few days, especially with everything going on with the Matt Barnes DFA. It was a little bit interesting to think about how this could all play out. Obviously, it was a massive surprise after the Adam Duvall official signing. And then most people thought, you know, maybe Caleb Ort, maybe Ryan Brazier would get DFA'd, but no, it's Matt Barnes. And then we saw in the past few days, Barnes was dealt to the Miami Marlins for left-handed pitcher Richard Bleier. And interestingly enough, just last episode, we spoke about how the Red Sox were exploring their need of adding left-handed pitching, especially with Josh Taylor being shipped out to the Kansas City Royals for Mondesi. The Red Sox needed to find a way to balance out their bullpen with right-handers and left-handers. Now, a lot of people looked at this trade initially as a massive fleece, especially if Miami was going to be able to take all of Barnes' salary. The Red Sox would be able to free up some money, get a little bit more under the luxury tax, be able to, you know, add some more players before the season starts. You know, one thing that we talked about last episode is that the Red Sox currently have $14 million to sort of play with. Could they use that to add another starting pitching arm, another guy up the middle, you know, more depth pieces, more arms in the bullpen? Who knows? But, you know, one thing that ended up ultimately happening with this trade of Matt Barnes for Richard Bleier is that the Red Sox ended up ultimately sending approximately $5 million to Miami in the trade. And this actually doesn't help the Red Sox savings too much whatsoever against the CBT. It's less than $1 million. And so this turned into looking like a complete fleece to a relatively fair deal, especially with Bleier being under contract for $3.5 million. Now against the CBT, it's only $3 million for 2023. And then he has a $3.75 million buyout for 2024. Now, what the Red Sox are getting in the left-hander is a 35-year-old who had a 3.55 ERA, 3.27 FIP over 50.2 innings last season with the Marlins. And over seven seasons with the Yankees, the Orioles, and the Marlins, he has amassed a 3.06 ERA. And he's normally a ground ball and strike machine. He's also done an incredible job of being able to limit his walks and has routinely been in the top 5 or 6% of the MLB in walk percentage. And interestingly enough, especially with how limited and unreliable the Red Sox bullpen was over the last few seasons and how much they've been able to build it up over this past season, one stat that I found really interesting that Chad Jennings pointed out in his recent article on The Athletic is the Sox had the second highest walk percentage of all major league teams last year. And now they have three pitchers, and now Richard Bleier, who they just got, Ryan Brazier, and Chris Martin, who they signed earlier this offseason, who ranked top 12 in that category. And so not only did the Red Sox be able to add some pitchers in that bullpen who are reliable, have a long track record of being dominant, but also have great control and limit walks, because we saw multiple times throughout last season, especially if a Red Sox relief performance got out of hand, it was either through lots of walks, Jake Diekman, or, you know, they found a way to allow tons of hits, which those walks also added to an explosive inning. And we saw plenty of those last season. Hopefully, you know, with these numbers, with these additions, it really limits some of those headaches that we saw, especially in those late innings. And now that the team has Kenley Jansen, finally a reliable closer, we could see this Red Sox bullpen be, you know, top five, top 10, one of the most dominant in the league, hopefully. But, you know, I'm very excited for this Bleier addition. Now, the one thing that I did find sort of interesting all about it was your guys' reaction on Twitter. So I wanted to go into a little bit of those. We had Lance Paradis. He said, balances out bullpen needs for 2023. Cheaper option for 2024 with Martin, Jansen, Schreiber. Less need for right-handed leverage arm like Barnes. Need a guy who can pitch in the middle relief and limit numbers. And we had CJ O'Connor, very intrigued by this whole offseason focus on limiting walks out of the pen. Low K rates worry me, especially without the shift. True, that's a good point. I'm very curious to see how the shifts really not only impact pitchers, but also mainly hitters as well. We got Eth. He said, wash financially, which, you know, I agree with. Now it's a completely fair deal. The Red Sox didn't really do too much to be able to offload some of that Barnes money. Then he also went on to say, Bleier does have experience keeping the ball in the ballpark, throwing strikes in the AL East. Righty 4 lefty swap, 299 career ERA against the AL East, 246 against the Yankees, who strike out more than just about anyone. Couldn't agree more. Love those numbers as well. I'm going to say those again so people can, you know, fully be able to understand that. 299 career ERA against the AL East, especially with how terrible the Red Sox were against AL East teams and how important it's going to be this next season if they want to be successful, to be very successful against those AL East teams. Having a guy like Blair, who has not only played for the Orioles, but also the Yankees, and has success out of the bullpen against those teams, that's definitely a plus. And then also, as you mentioned, 246 ERA against the Yankees, definitely a plus, especially when you're able to have success against the arch rival. Then we got Jimmy Fitz. He said, I think it's a win-win. Barnes was having an off again. Injuries, basically money wash. And then we got Fred Katz. He said, Barnes' last late inning outings with Chicago and with Baltimore sealed his fate. I won't be specific, but I know. But you know. So the one thing that, you know, I wanted to mention about Barnes is, especially with what he was able to do throughout his career with the Red Sox, you know, tough to sort of see it end like this, especially with him signing an extension and with all the success that we had in 2021. But I mean, especially in this league, it's all about what are you doing for me right now? And so, you know, especially with what Barnes was able to do in 2021, which helped him become an all-star. But then we saw his ERA and his reliability completely go down the drain in the second half. In 2022, it was the complete opposite, which we've talked about plenty on this podcast, but it's really sort of confusing. First half, complete just explosion. And then second half, he was really reliable. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how he is able to perform on the Marlins. Obviously, great addition for Miami, a team who is looking to be able to resurge as a competitive team, are able to add to their bullpen with already their stacked rotation. But, you know, definitely greatly appreciate everything that Matt Barnes was able to do for this organization over his, you know, 8 years, not only in the majors, but also was drafted by the team, you know, came up through the system. And so it's definitely tough to see him go, but definitely a great addition for the Red Sox. But I'm going to speak a little bit more about what this move ultimately ended up doing for the 40-man roster and sort of my reaction to that in our second segment. But before I do that, I just want to take a second to talk to you about FanDuel. So this year, the only app that you need for your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they are the number one sports book in America. And if you are new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet guarantee. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel app is safe and secure and super easy to use. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Now, looking at sort of what the Red Sox had to do in terms of the 40-man roster when Richard Blair ended up ultimately being dealt for Matt Barnes. Frank Herman was DFA'd, a guy who was one of the most reliable bullpen arms down in Worcester and was essentially the closer for majority of the time. And during his time down in Worcester, was able to amass a 2.58 ERA with nearly 11 strikeouts per nine innings. And when he went up to the majors, wasn't very reliable. And this could have been a big reason why the Red Sox ultimately ended up deciding to DFA him over a guy like Caleb Ort or Ryan Brazier, but he only pitched four innings. But over those four innings, ended up allowing seven hits, eight earned runs, and walking four batters while also striking out four. So the Red Sox were able to get him sort of free in the Adam Ottavino deal from the Yankees. And it was sort of like, aha, we stole him from you, the Yankees fans, especially, you know, when he was starting to be really successful in Worcester. And, you know, when you start to see sort of that success in Worcester, it's not always going to correlate to obviously major leagues, but you always hope that it will. And so the one thing that was a little bit confusing to me is that, as I mentioned, the Red Sox didn't DFA a guy like Caleb Ort or Ryan Brazier. We've talked plenty about Ryan Brazier on this podcast, but Caleb Ort is somebody that I'm very surprised he's still on the 40-man roster. He's currently 30 years old, but it seemed like any time he came in out of the bullpen for the Red Sox last year, you just could never trust him in really any situation whatsoever. He pitched in 25 games, had a 6.35 ERA over 27 strikeouts. If you're telling me that Frank Hermann pitching four innings, allowing eight earned runs, you're going to indicate that to DFAing him over a guy like Caleb Ort, who is much older than Hermann is, that really doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. And so I would expect that, you know, the Red Sox might have had a deal already set up for him or was confident that they were able to get a deal done for him because he's still got a lot of value. You know, he was very reliable in AAA, still has a lot of potential to be good in the majors. And so I'd be very surprised if the Red Sox had trouble finding a trade partner for Frank Hermann, but definitely, you know, tough to see him go, especially with how excited fans were at the end of last season to potentially see the next great Red Sox bullpen arm. But Chad Jennings ended up saying that while the Red Sox continue to explore trade opportunities for Frank Hermann, they will remain in the market for another infielder. So very curious to see what that means. Obviously, they got Mondesi at shortstop. Also, Kike Hernandez, definitely an option. And then Christian Arroyo. Curious to see if, you know, maybe they're able to get an infielder in a Frank Hermann trade. Obviously, would probably require another piece, but hopefully the Sox are able to do similar with what they were able to do in the Matt Barnes trade and be able to fill a need like an infielder. But we greatly appreciate everybody tuning into this episode. Hope you did enjoy it. If you did, make sure to subscribe on YouTube or whatever audio platform that you're listening to. We post three times a week and keeping you updated about everything that is going on about the Boston Red Sox leading up to the 2023 season. And the next few weeks, we're going to be back to 5 days a week and also bringing you tons of great guests and tons of great analysis to help you be as knowledgeable and also excited about the 2023 Red Sox season. But as always, we greatly appreciate everybody making Locked On Red Sox their first listen of every single day. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, make sure to follow Locked On Red Sox on Twitter. It's LO_Red Sox. As you heard, I spoke a little bit about some of the Twitter responses in this episode. If you want to be a part of that, make sure to follow us on Twitter because usually before each episode, we'll post sort of what we're talking about or we'll pose a question, which is most likely what we're talking about, and we'll use your answers or your responses in each episode to sort of give fans not only the ability to voice their opinions, but we're also always very curious to hear what Red Sox Nation thinks about the different things that are going on about the team. And we also want to make this podcast the most fan engaging Red Sox podcast that there is out there. But you can also follow myself on Twitter. It's at Jake Iggy, or also my co-host Lauren. It's La 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 Three Laws, Lauren with four R's. But as always, we'll end this episode how we always end it. Keep the faith and let's go Sox. Peace.